Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, we come in our Saviour Jesus Christ. We come, O Lord, in repentant spirit, asking, O Lord, for thy mercy. We ask, O Lord, for that resurrection power of Jesus Christ to bring life and goodness to our souls. Be with us now for the whole evening and more. In our Saviour. Amen. Our first hymn, 777. If God Himself be for me, I may a host defy. We'll stand to sing 777. Well, let's turn to Psalm 23. We finished the series in Ephesians. And before we start another series, I'm going to take some psalms. We had a series of the summertime, psalm pickings, we call it. And we'll do one psalm tonight and perhaps some more. Psalm 23, hear the word of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So this on and off series we've had in the Psalms, Psalm pickings, we've looked at Psalms 18, 32, 51, 27, and 119. And this evening we add Psalm 23, this well-known psalm, most well-known psalm, you could say, written by David. Most likely, the opinion is that he wrote this psalm as an old man towards the end of his life. Something reflective in the psalm, looking back upon life, kind of conclusion, looking back over life, some remarks about his life and how the Lord has helped him. It is a remarkable psalm in many ways, mostly known for his comfort of the Christian. And when we look at the psalm, there are so many mentions in one way or another of the Lord's care for us. What struck me this time round looking at this psalm, it is quite remarkable when we think of the writer of the psalm. Yes, he was a very spiritual man, but also he was a man of war, a man who knew many, many trials, many persecutions, and many betrayals, and all of which makes this psalm the more powerful as a testimony of who the Lord is to him and who the Lord is. Now, this evening, you may need to hear these words yourself. You might be troubled and weary and wonder if the Lord will indeed care for you. You know in your head the doctrines, you know that he will care for you, but such are our emotions, and our trials can be severe, and heaviness of heart. You can't quite take hold of what you believe. You believe it in your head, but somehow it doesn't dominate the heart and rule the heart. It's a bit removed from you for some reason. And we all experience that, and it's a matter of being people who know the Lord daily and being men and women of great faith. It's a great battle to be that person. And we know how to advise somebody else, but we can't do it ourselves very often because of the severity of the trial or the nature of the trial being so particular to you and being a real test for you. And maybe you need to hear the testimony of such a man as David, who went through so much and yet wrote this lovely psalm, this beautiful testimony to the care of God. Even though his life story was full of wars and troubles, yet this is what he says. The Welsh hymn writer, Panteth Celyn, otherwise known as William Williams, said, "Tell me thou art mine, O Saviour, grant me an assurance clear." And we always need that added and extra embrace, you know, to know his nearness years ago. It's not the same as now. We want to know it now and again and again. And so there are many assurances in this psalm. Many times this psalm says, "He is mine, the Lord is mine." And none more than the opening of the psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." Now, I want you to pause at these words, if you can, in your mind. We're probably so and too acquainted with these words to take in the astounding nature of what has been said in this opening line of this psalm, where we are told that the glorious and almighty God, who is Jehovah himself, will care for me. Will look out for me, will care for me like a shepherd who watches over the sheep. And he will watch over me, protect, as a shepherd would do, provide and guide, and all those things, and actively so, and all the time, all the time. Well, it's enough, really. We could go home with those truths. The Lord is my shepherd, Almighty God. When you think of who you have as your friend and your shepherd, the one who looks out for you, it is Almighty God. That is quite a statement, that Almighty God watches over me and looks out for me. But then we see so many testimonies in this psalm of his care for us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shan't be in need of anything. In need of anything which is for my good. Now, perhaps you can truly make a case for something you need and the Lord has not provided. Well, it might well be he has not provided for a purpose of blessing you with a greater blessing, that you might draw near to him, that he might be your all in all, and that you might know his fullness. And it might swamp, really, that thing you wanted. You have so much more in him. Or perhaps to make you so trust him in this world, you will have a fullness forever and ever in the world to come and bless you forever. And so we have to measure these things from the viewpoint of God and his dealings. See, I shall not want will always be true in one way or another. Always true. It will never not be true. It will always be true. I shall not want. And then we have the second verse. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Again, what strange language for a man of war. When you think about it, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Yet this is David's testimony. The Lord will take care of him in the midst of life, will lead him and cause him to rest. To rest in what? Yes, green pastures and still waters. But what are the green pastures and still waters? A few things we could say here, but mainly the Lord himself. To rest in him. And so the Lord will take David aside from his troubles, allow him to rest in the bosom of Christ and in the presence of God. Now think of occasions we know green pastures and still waters. The Lord's Day would be one, you know, and midweek meeting would be another. I remember his name was John Roberts. I believe he's still alive. He's a Christian in Carmarthen, a lovely, warm-hearted Christian. And he used to say that the midweek meeting to him was an oasis in a wilderness. In the world, and there was a midweek meeting, an oasis, the still waters and green pastures. And certainly, when we are in trouble, the Lord's Day is an opportunity to rest in the Lord, to rest in him. But also other days too, there might be troubles in your life, and the Lord comes, and for that day or few days, he draws near. And he does that. He knows when to do it. Most perfectly. He waits for the right time, which will benefit us most. But also, there can be seasons, like a little reviving, as the scripture says, a little reviving. And you might have been through some prolonged difficult time, and really cast down. And then another time comes, and the Lord comes with the green pastures and still waters, and revives you, revives your spirit. And of course, ultimately, we are heading for the green pastures and the still waters and forevermore. Let's not forget that perspective, not just in this life, but that is where we are heading. Now, this is the wilderness, and the green pastures and living waters are the heavens. The same spirit and the care of God, and something really so touching about these words. and we see them from the point of view of God's care of us. He restoreth my soul. And our souls are so precious, so important. Us ourselves, me, myself, the inner being, who I really am. And there in our hearts, he restores us. Now, of course, in the green pastures, still waters, that will be one way he restores us. We could think of the green pastures and still waters, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. But also, we can think of this restoring as a direct touch upon our hearts. Like our Savior in the Gospels touched people and healed them. And so he can touch your soul and restore you. Amazing touch our Savior has. Not just for the bodies, but for the soul. Now we can be worn down by our failures and our neglect too. We can be in ruins. The devil will jump in and say to you, you're doomed, you're doomed, you're hopeless. But a touch from our Savior in his power will restore our souls. He is the life and the resurrection. And so when he touches us, his very life and resurrection power fills our soul. Oh, blessed touch. Have you known these things? A blessed touch of the Lord. Then many times we struggle, like David. Oh, but how precious are those moments when he restores my soul. That is something miraculous. He saves our soul, but he also restores us when we struggle as Christians. And then this phrase that follows, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, there are many points we can take a wrong turning and go astray, and much more than you think. Not just with the obvious life choices, and that's very real, but also with wrong turnings in our heart responses. And that is really what's behind all those life choices. But they can be, even without those life choices, when things seem to be okay, but know in your heart it's not right. And you made some wrong turnings in your heart responses. There might be bitterness, or there might be wrong motives and so on. As the hymn says so powerfully, I don't remember singing this hymn so much in Tabernacle, but when I was in the Heath Church, we sang this so often. Unless my heart should change, O Lord, watch over me. Something humble there. Don't be confident, my friend, of your own spirituality. Be careful of your heart. Unless my heart should change, O Lord, watch over me. And so it is throughout life. He leads us the paths of righteousness. He keeps us. We'll speak in a moment about the rod and the staff. He keeps us in the paths of righteousness, and he brings us back on these paths as well. He is, after all, the shepherd, and that is his job, to keep us on the paths of righteousness. And then verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And we'll come to the rod and staff in a moment. But this part, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now David surely knew, know the valley of the shadow of death. How often he was just a step away from his death, and so close. And also hiding in valleys and hiding in caves and so on. The valley of the shadow of death and in darkness. And we know from the Psalms, in despair as well. But here, despite that valley of the shadow of death, he testifies of the care of God in that valley. Why? The Lord was with him in the valley. And the valley can be very dark, even hellish, I would say. Oppressed by the devil, he can halt your soul. He can oppress you with a strange darkness that you can't shake off. A darkness almost beyond the circumstances, and yet you are so much in the grip of it. But then the Lord can break that spell. The Lord is with you, and he is the light. He's the light of the world, and he brings light into that dark valley. So when he comes, he transforms everything. That's what David says. I was in the valley in the shadow of death, but God was with me. I find these words very touching myself. Thou art with me. I'm sure you like many phrases in this psalm. I change with my favorites, but this is often one of them. Thou art with me. Lovely, lovely words, especially in the context in which they are spoken. And in a way, the whole world, all our life is a dark valley. You know, it's not just those times in our life which are difficult and are dark, but the whole of our life is in this dark world and a dark valley. And the point here is this, of course. The shepherd is with us in this dark world. I will fear no evil. Thou art with me. We are in hostile territory, in enemy territory, but God is with us. And really, that's the kind of power we need, and that's the kind of wonderful power we have, that God himself is with us. You know, if you think of all the powers of the world, and somebody said to you, I offer you this power, that God will be with you. Well, you would say, well, what more? And that's the truth. God is with thee, with you, and with me, and with us. And then this phrase, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, these are the instruments and things which the shepherd uses to drive away those who harm, mainly. It's a comfort to the saints to see the mighty power of Christ and his ability to drive away our enemies and to protect us. Because sometimes we are overcome, aren't we, with the powers of the devil, and things can frighten us, and life can frighten us. But God is able, and Christ is able to drive those away with the rod and the staff. Also, the rod and the staff can be like a crook to keep us on the path and to draw us near. And not just to ward away the wolf and the bear and the lion, but also to draw us near to himself. They are symbols of his care, the rod and the staff. Ward off, draw near. This is the care of God for us in this world. And David testifies to these things. And then this too, in verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And here in a way the psalm changes. Some people say it's still the shepherd. I think it's just a change of picture from the shepherd to the host and the guest. And that's the natural understanding of these verses. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. But first of all, this table. And it's also here a change, I think myself, in degree of blessing. There's an increase now. We're speaking of the care of God and is wonderful and mighty and powerful. But here there's almost an increase of heart blessings being expressed here. It's enough to have the still waters and green pastures. But this is something now almost face to face with the Savior, the host and the guest. And what a calm picture we have here with enemies all around. Now David would know those things, in the presence of mine enemies. Thou preparest a table before me. It's a calm picture of a table set with food and having a meal. And in the disarray around, there is this calmness in the presence of Christ as we sup with him. We know this, a good man will always have enemies around him. The devil himself, for the one thing, and many others too, is bound to be. But in the midst of that, the Lord will set a table. It's lovely condescension, isn't it? The Lord prepares a table for you and will cause you to sit down with him at the table and will sup with you, will dine with you. And that's very much the thought of the presence. How do we know these things? Well, you might be in all kinds of upset, and then you go perhaps at night and before you sleep, you open the word and the Lord speaks to you. That's the table, the word of God prepared for that moment. How often a particular verse is timed for a particular period in your life, and a day and an hour, an and it comes just at the right time. And sometimes when you're thinking about something and you look at the word and there's the verse, comes out at you, that is the Lord who's prepared that for you. And now you come to the table and take of the food and the drink he has prepared for you. And then also this phrase, thou anointest my head with oil. This anointing of the head with oil was a tradition, and also the feet as well, to anoint the feet. A host looking after the guests. And we speak here of Christ anointing us with refreshing oil. Now, see the picture. It is God, it is Christ. We can think of the Lord in verse 1 as being Jehovah Jesus. And Christ comes to you and he serves you and anoints your head with oil. A wonderful condescension, a mark of his tender care for our welfare. Who would believe it? Such personal and tender care of our hearts and our souls and our bodies too, the way he is mindful of us and our circumstances altogether. In this language here of this anointing with the oil, it's a sense of abundance in his language. The whole connotation is not just a sprinkle of oil, but oil pouring down. Think of Psalm 133. It's like the precious ointment that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. Sense of abundance in this language and in this expression. It also suggests, I think, an unction of the Spirit, as Christ owns us in this wicked world with an abundance of heavenly power to live and speak of him. And our head is anointed with oil to refresh us, but also to anoint us for service and for blessing. My cup runneth over. It's another picture of abundance. Again, the host is tending to his guests, and a picture of Christ filling the cup until it runneth over to the brim, and until it runneth over. Now, of course, we know our God is a God of abundance, and this abundance, this cup running over, speaks of an abundance of many kinds and all kinds. Think about salvation, an abundant salvation. Remind yourself now, you're saved from all your sins. Perhaps you cast down this week because of some failure. He saved you from that sin and other sins, from all your sins. Thank God he's an abundant Savior. And also he saves us to the fullness of heaven. Thorough cleansing, fullness of heaven, an abundant God. And so he filleth my cup, and my cup runneth over. And in many other ways, so many particular ways, he shows his thoughtfulness to our needs. And many examples you'll be able to think of in life, and think of that time and this time. Yes, he came to me, and he filled the cup, and it ran over. I felt an abundance of care from God and from Christ, and he helped me, and he helped me over and above what I deserved or expected. Then also, surely in this language too, like with the anointing of the head with oil, and this cup that runneth over, isn't there a blessing here? Don't you think? That the Lord fills the heart of the Christian until it overflows with joy, unspeakable and full of glory, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just think of that expression, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Our hearts be filled with God. These are remarkable terms we have in the scripture, and this adds to it, my cup runneth over. Then coming to verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And we move from thoughts of abundance to comprehensive cover all the days of my life. David's conclusion of the matter. And mark the testimony of David. He says to us here, a man of war, of troubles. You know, you look at David's life and you're so amazed at the trials and troubles of his life. Yet this is his testimony. This is who the Lord is to me. Let us hear his testimony tonight. And so this man, who in a way was dogged by trials and troubles, is also followed by goodness and mercy. And it's a striking phrase. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You would expect David to say that trials have dogged me and troubles have dogged me all the days of my life. He doesn't say that. Because of the weight of the blessing. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You know how precious it is to know the Lord in this world of ours. You are saved from sin. You also have God. You're very privileged. Very privileged to have the Lord in your life. And then the final expression, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And here we see the end of the journey. And here we see the kindness and care of the Lord. He brings us into his own house to be with him forever. And let's think about that. There's no blessing greater than this expression, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It is really, when you begin to break it down, ultimate times ultimate. It is the greatest quality times the greatest quantity when you begin to break it down and what it actually means. We are brought into his house, the majesty, the splendor of the house of the Lord. What makes this house? It is the Lord. It is himself. It is Christ. What would this house be? It's the house of the Lord. It is where he abides in his great presence. And we are brought into his house. You know, in hospitality, I think in some countries more than other countries, but when you invite somebody to your home, it's a mark of you opening your heart to them, and a sense of belonging and being somebody who shares in the house and shares in friendship and in bonds. Hospitality is a lovely thing, but here is a most remarkable hospitality that God brings us to his own house, not to some flat down the road, to his own house, into his own house. And we shall be brought into his own house, and we shall dwell with him in this house. It's not like Airbnb, whatever it's called, that the owner goes out and gives you the use of the house. He's there in the house with you. He's with you. And he will be with you. And you will be with him, more to the point. Forever and ever. Such blessing and such nearness. Blessing of God, the nearness of God, in the same home, in the same house, with the Lord himself. Nothing can be more wonderful than this. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Such happiness and bliss, such blessing. And then we see the words forever. And surely our hearts fail to grasp the quantity of the blessing. We are so used to this world and the passing and the fleeting nature of life. And our blessings are fleeting. They are happy for a moment, then we are sad. But we shall be happy forever, unbroken, overflowing happiness. What we have here is something which is beyond calculation. As I said, ultimate times ultimate. The greatest quality times the greatest quantity. To be so blessed, forever blessed. And this is our condition. And this is what the Lord, his care. He cares for us in life. He brings us into his care forever. This is our Lord. And David understood both life and eternity. Just think of this testimony of David. As I said, you can read the events of the life of David, but David is saying to us here, this is the real story of my life. Do you want a summary of David's life? It's Psalm 23. Other psalms similar too, but this one is so well known and a short summary. It's so good to have this succinct and short summary of David's life. And the same story is your life as well. A shepherd watches over you. At the end of your life as a Christian, you will be able to write this psalm yourself. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, I walk the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I know we read this psalm at funerals, and some part of it might be a comfort and a gospel invitation even to those who are not saved. There's no question about it. As you read this psalm, this is the Christian. No question about it. As I was reading that, just came to me again. He restoreth my soul. He does that every morning, every evening. When you come to him and open the word, he restoreth my soul. He keeps us from day to day. Well, can I bring two other verses very, very briefly that come to mind with this psalm? Also a psalm of David, the first one. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. It just struck me, that phrase. What a remarkable expression that is. The Lord thinketh upon me. What? You know, there you are, and maybe not known in many ways. Perhaps you feel lonely and isolated. But the Lord thinketh upon you. Almighty God. Not just once in a while. We might, you know, when we pray for each other, you might say, well, I was thinking about you, but not all the time. Maybe once or twice. Maybe you might have thought of somebody and prayed for them. But the Lord all the time thinketh upon us. It's a remarkable expression. But also, there was a Peter, casting all your care. 1 Peter 5 verse 7. The previous reference was Psalm 40, verse 17. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, these are just two verses. Don't you think the scripture is wonderful? If you think of all the dark, legalistic, even sinister religions of the world, the empty philosophies, and you come to the word of God, saves us from our sins through Christ and faith in Christ, takes away all our sins as we trust in him, but also he is our God, and he calls upon us to come to him and says to us, I care for you. Remarkable, remarkable truth, but said so often in the scriptures. How often you come across not just these classic verses, but other verses that says to us that he careth for you. Well, believe that, my friend. Believe that. That he careth for you. Are you feeling lonely, isolated tonight, discouraged? Well, these words, I hope, have some impact upon you. The Lord thinketh upon you. And he sees your loneliness and your depression. He thinketh upon you, and he careth for you. Well, let's mark these words in this psalm, and those two verses too, that this is the real story of our lives. The care of God, and the watching of God, the shepherd. And this evening now, we are a number here this evening. The thought is this: yes, the Lord sees us all together, but he sees us all individually, and he watches over you. And even now in your heart, perhaps, I trust, is restoring your soul and bringing you to the living water and the green pastures, the still waters and the green pastures. Well, we mark this. And these are the words of David. And you know, when I was thinking this psalm, I thought of it so often. It just struck me. It's written by a man of war. It's written by a man who had to flee for his life, was betrayed. Yet here is his Christian testimony that God was with me and cared for me through it all. And then, at the end of it all, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Kind of makes sense, really. If you start from the end and go backwards, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, if that's the end, surely now also it must be akin to that. If he's going to bless us forever with the best of blessings, surely now he's watching over us, caring for us, and providing for us. Well, let's pray. Our Father and our God, we ask we might take this psalm to heart as we think of David and so many trials and troubles, betrayals, and so much bloodshed as well, and battles in the name of the Lord. And yet here we see this calmness, this place of stillness, where he knew the very blessing of God upon his soul, and my cap runneth over, and thou anointest my head with oil. O Lord, we pray tonight we might know that anointing and that cup been filled to the brim. We may be reminded, O Lord, of who thou art, what thou hast done for us, and, O Lord, also what thou art doing for us even now. Even now, O Lord, we know, even though our hearts might be cast down in some way and in the grip, perhaps, of some darkness, yet in our minds we know the gospel is true, all the promises are true. We pray, O Lord, they might move from the knowledge of our minds to the seat of our souls. There, O Lord, might rule our emotions and rule our very lives. Hear our prayers now, O Lord. We pray most earnestly that thou would bless us as thou didst bless David. In our Saviour's name, amen.